and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now, the Bible is very clear on the kind of man that God makes to prosper.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
There are really three things that I want to say about this test of allurement. I want to approach it from three different perspectives. First, I want to give you a characterization of this allurement. And then I want to give you a contrast. I want to illustrate for you how it is that David stumbled and Joseph succeeded in facing a similar temptation. A contrast. And then finally, I want to share with you a very interesting reward for virtue, a consequence to this deed that Joseph experienced and underwent. First, a characterization. Sensual attraction is perhaps the strongest lure of mankind. It is both test and temptation. This was a powerful temptation. In giving a characterization to it, I want to say that it gained power for four reasons. Maybe you want to jot them down. It gained power for four reasons. Number one, it was clandestine. By that I mean it was unexpected. It was shrouded in secrecy. It was well planned and beautifully articulated by Mrs. Potiphar. And do you know what that means? That means that every man of God, every woman of God, every serious disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ in every context of life must be totally prepared for the onslaughts of Satan. Not only was it clandestine, unexpected, secretive, well-planned and articulated, not only was it clandestine, demanding that he be prepared, but it was also constant, demanding that he be persevering. By this I mean that it was repeated daily. Do you notice there in Genesis 39 and verse 10? She spoke to Joseph day by day. It was constant. And that means the man of God must not only be prepared, he must be serious. He must be persevering. To persevere means to persist in spite of opposition. In Joseph's case, the persistence of the onslaught only served to toughen his resistance. And that, my friends, is a significant insight into the strength of the godliness of his character. Not only was this temptation gathering strength because it was clandestine, not only was it gathering strength because it was constant, but thirdly, it was gathering strength because it was convenient. It was very easy to do. By this I mean that it was a favorable opportunity. Do you notice the Bible says there, and there was none of the men of the house there within, 39:11. Do you know what that means? The man of God must be prepared. The man of God must be persevering. The man of God must be prudent. The fourth thing is it was conducive. By that I mean it tended to his advance. It would conduct him up the ladder of success. It was conducive. It would provide for personal advantage. But you know, the man of God is not only to be prepared, he's not only to be persevering, he's not only to be prudent, he is to be principled. He's to be a man of principle. He doesn't do that which promotes personal advantage. He does that which pleases his God. Characterization of his temptation, the allurement. But now let's quickly look at a contrast. I'd like to contrast for you, if I may, just for a moment here, Joseph and David. I think it's instructive to see why David failed and Joseph succeeded when he was faced with a similar temptation. First, perhaps we could look at factors in David's stumble. We all know the story of David and Bathsheba, and we're not going into all that detail. But perhaps I could just list for you three factors in David's stumble with a verse for each. The first word is liberties. It comes out of 2 Samuel 5:13. The second word is luxury. comes out of 2 Samuel 12, 1 and 2. The third word is laziness, slothfulness, an undisciplined spirit. It comes out of 2 Samuel 11, verses 1 and 2. Those are three words. Those were the factors in David's stumble. But what were the factors in Joseph's success? We're back in the 39th chapter of Genesis now, and I just wonder if I could just list these four items for you and just bring you a few concluding remarks. What were the factors in Joseph's success? One, Joseph had a loyalty to God. I tell you, that's a beautiful thing. A loyalty to God. Genesis 39, verses 8 and 9. How then can I do this and sin against God? It would violate my oath of loyalty to the God who has saved me, the God I serve and the God I love, the God who meets my needs. He had a loyalty to God. Loyalty is a precious commodity. It needs to be cultivated and developed in fundamental circles, in Bible-believing, Baptistic, Severinistic circles. Loyalty, a precious commodity. Loyalty to God. Loyalty to God's Word. Loyalty to God's work and God's servants. What is loyalty? Loyalty is adopting as your own the wishes and the goals of the one you are serving. What are God's wishes and God's goals for your life? Have you adopted them as your own? They're revealed in the pages of Scripture. One of them is moral purity. Joseph knew that. Loyalty is adopting as your own the wishes and the goals of the one you are serving. Loyalty is learning to stand by the one you are serving even when conflicting pressures arise. Loyalty is remaining on board even when the ship is sinking. That's loyalty. Joseph had that kind of loyalty. The pressures had come to Joseph, but he stood by his God. He knew and he understood God's will, God's wishes, God's goals for his life. And he had embraced them. And he knew that moral impurity was incompatible with those wishes and those goals. And so despite the pressure, he remained loyal. One reason Joseph succeeded, he was loyal to his God. Genesis 39, verses 8 and 9. It's a message there for you and for me. And then he was shocked by sin. Genesis 39 and verse 9. This great wickedness, he calls it. He was utterly shocked by that sin. Joseph had retained the capacity of being shocked by sin. To others, this was just another fling, a weekend affair. To Joseph, it was this great wickedness. May I suggest that too many Christians in our modern world have lost the capacity to be utterly staggered by sin? We have become conditioned to sin. There is a very weird and inverted form of sophistication about, I see it among a lot of teenagers today, and that is the kind of sophistication which rejoices in its knowledge of evil and its ability to accommodate evil without being moved. It doesn't even bother us anymore. You know what kind of a teenager really excites me? A young man or a young woman who goes through all the experiences of that early, middle, and later adolescence, rises to the level of graduation, and when he hears a vulgar term, he doesn't even know what it means. Do you know it's sophisticated to be in the know with respect to evil? If you can define these godless, wicked terms somehow, you're a Joe Cool. You're popular. You're powerful. You're strong. I'll tell you what you are. You're weak. You fail to raise up the standards of God in your life. Even parents. I marvel at some parents sometimes. They want to inoculate their children with a little bit of evil to get them ready for the world. I tell you, maybe inoculations work with physical diseases, but they don't work with spiritual diseases. And there's no such thing as a little bit of evil, because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The Bible says, be wise unto that which is good, be simple concerning evil. Romans 16:19. It means be childish, be stupid with respect to evil. That's what it means. Joseph was utterly staggered by this proposition. He was utterly shocked. Our greatest security against sin is developing the ability to be shocked by it. There's a third reason why Joseph succeeded and David succumbed, and that is that Joseph was habitually prepared. Now, there's a reason I say that. It's not immediately in the text here, but there's a reason I say that. The Scripture often says of Joseph that he prospered. You read there in Genesis 39:2, he was a prosperous man. You read in verse 3, the Lord made all that he did to prosper. You read in verse 23 of this chapter, Genesis 39, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now, the Bible is very clear on the kind of man that God makes to prosper. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight, his chief source of joy, his delight is in the law of the Lord, the mighty, lofty, powerful principles of Scripture. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. I tell you, the kind of man that prospers is the kind of man that has a godly contempt for man's wisdom, Psalm 1:1, and a godly reverence for God's wisdom. In his law doth he meditate day and night. When the Bible says that Joseph prospered, there's a key there. The Scripture says in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. Joshua 1:8. There's a key there when the Bible says Joseph prospered. How did Joseph prosper? I'll tell you. Joseph immersed, drenched, bathed his mind and his spirit in the mighty principles of God's revelation. He knew God's word. He built it into his life. He integrated it into his mind and his spirit. And he prospered. And because he had God's word in his heart, his spirit, his mind, he was in a state of habitual preparedness. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. He was habitually prepared. And then there's a fourth and final reason why Joseph succeeded. He fled the zone of temptation. Genesis 39, verse 12, the Scripture says, he left his garment in her hand, and he fled, and he got him out. Joseph gained final victory by taking to his heels and running, escaping from the zone of temptation. We must never indiscreetly or injudiciously, unnecessarily subject ourselves to environments of temptation. To linger and to dally with temptation is to lose. Because whenever you have a battle between the will and the imagination will win. By the way, fleeing the zone of temptation is not cowardice. It is courage and conviction of the highest order.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.